Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Joining us today is Dick Taylor. Dick, it's good to have you here with us.
Thanks very much, Chris. It's really good to be here with you.
Dick, you were an athlete, I know, in college. So this metaphor of the athletic competition is a meaningful one for you, isn't it?
It sure is. And it's really good to see in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12, for example, tells us, we have come to the universal gathering. And apparently, you're just in your car while you're listening to this broadcast. Maybe you're just in your living room, maybe your bedroom, but actually, you're really on the playing field. And it's very inspiring to be on the playing field because the stadium, the arena, is packed with fans. There's the angels there, according to the Bible, and also all the foregoing overcomers, Old Testament and New Testament. So they're cheering us on. We need the spiritual eyes to actually see this, but this actually is a very accurate truth from the Word. We're not just alone wherever we are, but we're in the arena, we're in the stadium, we're here to run the race, and we're here to reach the goal and to gain the prize.
Dick, that's what is before us today. We're going to get into this, I think, in a very graphic and, as we've already mentioned, encouraging, even inspiring fashion. Now, Dick, let's join Witness Lee.
Chapter 11 is the history of faith. It is not a chapter on teaching of faith, but it is a chapter on the history of faith. It starts from God's creation, and it consummates in the New Jerusalem in eternity. All these people who are involved in this history, they all became witnesses. So this is a history, and this is also a chapter of witnesses. Witnesses of faith. Witnesses here means the persons witnessing, not the testimonies, but the witnesses. The word in Greek for witness is the same word for martyrs. Every witness is a martyr. Every witness suffered martyrdom. They were martyred for their testimonies of faith. When you come to verses after 30, you could see all those witnesses were martyrs. They all were martyred. Some were stoned to death. Some were sawn into 2 pieces. Some twisted the sharp edge of the sword and so forth. They were martyrs. The martyrs are the witnesses. I would not spend much on the history. We will spend most of the time to the end or to the consummation of the history because the consummating part of the history is absolutely concerning us. So we will spend time there. I just read through the history from the beginning part with you all. So many scholars spend their time, and I would say even wasted their time, to find out how the universe was framed. They made a lot of propositions. It's nonsense. Yet we understand by faith that the universe was framed by the word of God. When God spoke, the thing came. When God spoke, the thing happened. So the framing of the universe was by the word of God, and we believe it. Amen. We know this by our substantiating sense. Amen. Not by other senses, but just by this number six sense, our substantiating sense. That is faith. By faith we know that the framing of the universe is by the word of God.
Dick, in this marvelous chapter of Scripture, Hebrews 11, we don't find instruction regarding faith so much, but simply an inspiring history of faith. Dick, faith has been characterized here as our sixth sense, our substantiating sense. Is this an apt picture type correlation?
This is a very apt picture correlation. We substantiate a color with our eyes. We're substantiating sound even right now with our ears. So how do you substantiate God? Only by faith. And this is by another sense. We have five physical senses, but there is a sixth sense within us. And that sense is related to the deepest part of our being, our spirit. John 4:24 says, God is spirit. And those who worship him or who substantiate him must do so in spirit. So there is a sense within us, a sixth sense related to our human spirit. This is our means to substantiate God day by day, hour by hour, even moment by moment. I appreciate when the Lord was resurrected from the dead, he was speaking to Thomas and he said, "Blessed are those who have never seen, but they believe." How can this be? And in 1 Peter it says, "Whom having not seen, you love." But that's because we have a sixth sense. We have our spirit, and we have Christ as the spirit within our spirit. So we have a way to substantiate, to verify, and to enjoy the God of the universe in reality. I've never seen him, Chris, but I believe in him. I've never seen him, but I love him. That's because of my sixth sense. Hallelujah for our spirit.
Dick, our spirit and our faith are so intertwined as to nearly be indistinguishable, aren't they?
That's true. They're just mingled one with the other. Our spirit and our faith really go together. Faith is just Christ himself as the believing element infused into our spirit. So now our substantiation of this wonderful God is in our spirit through faith.
Dick, I don't want to take too much time before we go back to Witness Lee, but let me just ask you one other item related to this. It seems without this realization of our spirit, faith becomes something far more nebulous that more often than not gets attached to our feeling, which can be very fluctuating. So the spirit, we just can't emphasize this too much, can we?
No, we cannot. Faith is altogether related to our spirit.
Dick, let's go back to more of Witness Lee.
In Moses being hit by his parents. His parents did the hiding by faith to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By that time was an enjoyment to the soul's feeling. To the soul life, that was enjoyment. But Moses refused that, choosing to be ill-treated and esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. When I was young, reading this verse, I questioned, how could Moses suffer the reproach of Christ as Christ not came yet? You see, again, I was bothered by this clock mentality. Today, many of us do have this clock mentality problem. Why this, why that, you know? Moses suffered the reproach of Christ. There is a reason. One word I would say that is Moses esteemed the suffering for the reproaches of Christ as something greater because he was looking away to the reward. I surely don't know who preached the reward to him. It might be his parents did it. Quite possible. But anyhow, the Bible says here, he looked away until the reward. This is a great faith. To his side, there was the palace of Pharaoh, the sonship, the royal sonship in the palace. All the worldly enjoyment and all the attainments and all the standard things were there. And he saw all these things. To his side, these things were real. But to his faith, these things were not real. Something other than these was real to his substantiating sense. He substantiated the reward far, far away from him by that time. He looked into the reward. So he was encouraged to give up all the good things he could see by that time in Egypt. The great reward was the great incentive to his forsaking of Egypt. This we have to consider as a full portrait of our life today. Today the world to us is just the Egypt. And what the world can afford us the most is just a palace. That the most. But to our faith, all these are just vanities of vanities. Amen. To our faith, these are vanity of vanities. Only one thing is the reality of realities. That is the coming reward.
Dick, this recounting of the story and example of Moses really touched me today, especially how his looking away to the reward really demonstrated his great faith. It takes faith, doesn't it, Dick, to look away from the riches and the treasures that are before us in this age, especially in this modern day that we live, and really focus on the reward.
It really does. It really does. Because all the riches and all the pleasures of this world are in the physical realm and they are visible. I was really touched with 2 Corinthians 4:18, which says, because we do not regard the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Problem is, we mostly use just our five senses to touch the visible, physical, material things and to pursue them, the riches and the things of this world. That's the danger. But God has called us to pursue him. We don't see him. We need our sixth sense. We're pursuing this one and even this reward that's invisible. But when we exercise our spirit to pray, to say, Lord Jesus, I love you, right away, we have a foretaste of the full taste. And we have a sense and a taste of the reward. And we realize it's much better than any physical or earthly enjoyment that we can have on this earth. All the enjoyment of sinful and worldly things are just temporary, but the enjoyment of Christ is permanent. You know, anything that you've enjoyed that's in the sinful and worldly realm, as soon as you're done, you're empty. As soon as you're done, you're empty. This is a sign this is not the real enjoyment. But there's a reward. There is this Christ who's our prize. And we can taste him. Not only is he our reward in our future, but he's our reward every time we turn our heart to the Lord, to love him again, to enjoy him in his word. Right away, we're rewarded with him. And by the sixth sense, we realize this is the real prize. This is the real enjoyment. This is our incentive to come out of the sinful and worldly enjoyment, just to run to this dear Jesus. For example, how about if I say to you, hey, let's just go enjoy all the things in Las Vegas. I tell you, that really fits verse 25. This is the temporary enjoyment of sin. But when you're done there, you are empty. You lay down in your room at night, you're by yourself, you may consider, you may put your hand on your heart, you realize, I am an empty person. But what a joy to exercise our spirit to touch the most charming object in the entire universe, Jesus Christ. Right away you realize everything else is junk, everything else is dung, and the pleasure of this world is nothing compared to the enjoyment of Christ.
Dick, we have a wonderful portion awaiting us in this final section today. Let me read a couple of verses just to set the stage. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, these are verses 39 and 40. And these all, having obtained a good testimony through their faith, did not obtain the promise, because God has provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Dick, the stadium is full.
Yes, it is.
They're waiting for us, and we don't have a seat on the 50-yard line. We end up on the field.
That's right.
That's where we're headed in this last section.
Amen.
Let's join Witness Lee.
All those witnesses of faith, martyrs of faith, by themselves, listen to this, they were never perfected. They were to be perfected by the believers of the new covenant. Surely they needed us for their perfection. If you do have the substantiating faith, you could sense that Abraham, David, Solomon, all of them are watching over us. And they would somewhat like the people in the basketball or football game. They would say, quick, 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 speed up, get it. All those David, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob were watching over us. Speed up. Quick. Get it. Whether they will get the game or not depends upon us. When they will get the game, it depends upon us. This is the right meaning of verse 40 of this chapter 11. We better read verse 39 too. And these, all the saints in the Old Testament time, these all, having obtained testimony through their faith, did not obtain the promise, God having in view something better concerning us, they should not be made perfect. They are waiting for you. They are waiting for you. Let me tell you an honest word. Not only they are waiting for us, even Paul. All the New Testament martyrs, they are also waiting for us. All those foregoing martyrs, foregoing overcomers, all are there waiting for the fullness of the overcomers. The number of the overcomers has not been filled up yet. All the foregoing overcomers are now waiting there for us to fill up the number. One day, the fullness will come. This is the strongest verse in this chapter to encourage all the Hebrew believers to get up, to come forward, to fill up the gap, to fill up the number of the overcomers. Amen. You know why? Because in God's economy, God doesn't intend to have any individual expression. God's intention is to have a corporate expression. And this corporate expression needs certain complete number. Only God knows what is the complete number. As long as this complete number would not be filled up, I tell you, the time would not come. Those foregoing overcomers have to still wait for us. So you see, our responsibility. They are already there, but we are not. And we have to say, praise the Lord. Amen. Today, we are at the last days. We are not at the beginning. We are at the consummation. Whatever is at the consummation is always richer, greater, higher than what was in the beginning. Amen. My brothers, it is altogether not a small thing that today we are in the Lord's recovery. Amen. We are in the Lord's recovery. Amen. Oh, this is the consummating period of God's economy. So many foregoing overcomers, they are just expecting to see our completion. And we are the most blessed people in the whole universe. Amen.
Amen.
We surely have the greatest golden opportunity to participate in the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose.
Dick, what an inspiring portrait is laid before us. All the overcomers of the past are now waiting, watching, even cheering us on to finish the course, to fill up the number of the overcomers. Dick, what does it mean in verse 40 that apart from us, they should not be made perfect?
This means that apart from us, the number of the overcomers is not complete. So there is a certain number already from the Old Testament, and even a number of New Testament martyrs who have gone before us. But the number needs to reach a certain point. So without us, they are not made perfect. And this draws us to the conclusion that we are the most blessed people in the entire universe. We have a golden opportunity to cooperate with the Lord and even with all these foregoing overcomers to fulfill God's eternal purpose. What a precious opportunity we have. So both the Old Testament saints, the overcomers, and the New Testament martyrs, overcomers, are in the stands in this stadium. And the stadium is packed with the angels and with all these overcomers, and they are cheering us on, saying, go, go, run, run, fight, box, move. And I just have a sense sometimes, Chris, when I start going the wrong direction in my daily life, it's kind of like the crowd is saying, no, no, don't go there. We have to realize apparently we're alone in our car or bedroom or somewhere or in a shopping center. Actually, we're not alone. We're in the stadium. And all these fans, these overcomers from the past, and all the angels, ministering spirits, are all cheering us on to pursue Christ, to reach the goal, and to gain the prize. So we need to take heed to this word, be those who live this life in faith.
Dick, do you suppose, I think all of us, or probably most of us, have experienced the exhilaration and thrill of being at an exciting game, and you can't help but get caught up in the emotion, but as you were describing earlier, how whenever we engage in something worldly or sinful, there, yes, there's a pleasure, there's an exhilaration, but there's that always that empty, drained feeling following. But something in us seems to match that the atmosphere that you find in that kind of a competition and in the stadium. Is that because it really matches something that God has placed in us for the real competition, the real arena that we've been talking about today?
Yeah, you're right, Chris. It does match something. There is a sense, definitely. Anytime you see an athletic competition, it is a reminder of the reality in this universe. And even the Apostle Paul, no doubt from observing the Olympic Games, wrote many of his things. I box, I fight, I run, I pursue. And he said we're in the universal gathering, which means a huge stadium filled with fans and there's a race going on. So this is really true. It matches a spiritual reality. We're on the field, the stands are packed. Let's go for the goal and gain the prize, this dear Christ.
Dick, thank you very much for your help and fellowship today. I enjoyed it very much.
Good to be here, Chris.
For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening.